Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in on this Sunday night, right before the Pelicans playoff game. So I am at a high stress level at the moment. I think talking to you guys is going to bring me down to a more rational mental state. My name is Michael Borky. Welcome into Rebel Report Live. Appreciate you guys being here. Couple of things to talk about. Well, really three, but it's more like two and a half. First of all, the lead topic, Ole Miss got some help in the running back room, and it looks like there's more on the way still. Maybe some visits have changed, but for right now, Ole Miss does get a portal running back that they absolutely need. Frankly, I think they need at least one more. We will see who that is or what that looks like, but we will tell you at least what they've got so far. We'll talk about that, and we will talk about baseball. Ole Miss really struggled yet again this weekend, but history was made, and those are two very, very separate things to talk about, and I do think people are kind of combining the two, and I wish, frankly, I wish that they wouldn't, and I'll tell you what I mean by that as well. So again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on the website at supertalk.fm or watching live on YouTube right now, pull out your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. So let's start with football, because you got to start with football. Jacory Kroski Merritt committed to Ole Miss right before the weekend began. He is he was a highly sought after, actually an Arizona commit, transfer portal running back, very much a late bloomer. When you consider, one, just his size, he has physically grown. He's changed. He hit a growth spurt or something from when he started his college career at Alabama State versus now when he's transferring in from New Mexico. But very much a late bloomer, very experienced guy. He has played 5 years of college football already, four of which were at Alabama State, where, if we're being honest, guys, completely – nothing. I mean, there's nothing about his stats that stand out at Alabama State. Did not at any point run for 4 yards per carry in those 4 years at Alabama State. Goes to New Mexico and flourishes at New Mexico. 189 carries, 10 yards shy of running for 1,200 yards, averaged 6.3 per carry, and had 17 touchdowns as well. And for good measure, had 72 receiving yards, but averaged a first down per reception as well. So wasn't really used in the passing game all that much. But again, 1,200 rushing yards and 17 touchdowns on 17 per. And his last two games, he went over 200 in each of his last two games. A win at Fresno State, where he carried it 21 times for 209 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And then Utah State, where he ran 31 times for 233 yards and a touchdown. That's 10 and 7.5 per carry, respectively. So Ole Miss wanted him. They got him. He looks very similar in skill set to the kind of backs that Ole Miss have had recently. It looks like he's got more top-end speed than Judkins, who I don't know if he's replacing is the right phrase, but looks like he's got more top-end speed, not as physical, kind of in the similar mold of what they had like with Ely and with Bentley and Parrish. He's kind of built like that. At least it looks like it from, I didn't watch every single snap of New Mexico football, but from what I watched, it's about right. He's 5'11", 204. So I still think that they need some kind of a bruiser. Now, again, they've got visits lined up. I'd be surprised if they both showed up at this point, considering that they got Merritt and now they've got, you know, Bentley's already there, and we'll see about what Paris does. But Trent Howland scheduled to visit Ole Miss tomorrow, today, when the overwhelming majority of you are listening to this. If he shows up, then that very well could be the rounding out of the running back room. I don't know at this point what they're thinking. I've said in this portal window that they're going to add two. I think there's a chance that they add three, including the one that we're talking about right now. I really don't think that they're super in love, as I've told you before, with what they have aside from Bentley in that room. And I think that their portal strategy is showing that. So this is a big pickup, though. He was wanted for sure. He's got good numbers. The highlights look good. We'll see if, and that's always a question, we'll see if that game is able to translate to the SEC level or not. If Lane Kiffin is doing the evaluating and Kevin Smith is doing the evaluating, their track record tells you that there's a pretty good chance that this hits. But until it happens, you just never know. But this is a big pickup. So again, Trent Howland of Indiana, the 240-pound bruiser, as Memphis Rebel asks about, scheduled to visit tomorrow. I don't know if that's still happening or not, but we will see. But good pickup for Ole Miss there in the transfer portal at running back. The other topics of the weekend. Let's start with the good when it comes to baseball, and then we'll get to the bad. So Mike Bianco won his 1,000th game as a head baseball coach this weekend. And I've seen some fans, mostly on the internet, really, like downplay that accomplishment or have used it as a way to further express their displeasure with the program. And don't get me wrong, you should absolutely express your displeasure with the baseball program and the way they're playing at the moment. I do think, though, that Mike Bianco winning 1,000 games is worthy of putting that aside for a second and just kind of appreciating what Ole Miss baseball became in large part because of Mike Bianco. He took over a program that had very little to no history of success. He kind of built Ole Miss baseball into what it is. Now, you know, the administration has had to support it and fans have had to support it as well. Nothing is built by one individual person. But I do think that what you see Ole Miss baseball as today, the national brand, the power, the championship, now championship-winning program that it is, is a credit to Mike Bianco. And so I know this season's going terribly. I know this weekend was yet another shoot yourself in the foot, what the hell happened kind of a weekend. But I do think that Ole Miss fans, when the day comes that Mike Bianco is no longer coaching baseball at Ole Miss, should, and I think will at large, look really fondly on what he built Ole Miss into and did it, you know, the right way. The way that they're engaged and involved in the community and things like that. He's more than just Ole Miss's baseball coach. He and his family have immersed themselves in the culture there in Oxford, and he has built Ole Miss baseball into something that, you know, it's possible that the expectations and the investment exceeds what his ceiling is. I mean, that's entirely possible. Maybe a conversation that we're going to have at some point here in the near future. But for now, it's a remarkable accomplishment. He is the guy that built Ole Miss baseball into what it is today. And so him winning 1,000 games is a cool thing. It's a really awesome accomplishment. Coaches don't stay at schools for as long as he's stayed at Ole Miss very often anymore. So the way he, you know, addressed it when he was asked about it was all class, because that's how he is. And I know, you know, again, there's frustration, and frustration is leading people to say things, and I understand all of that, trust me. But he's deserving of a step aside, reflection, recognition kind of thing. And anyway, cool accomplishment. He is why Ole Miss baseball is the way it's looked at. But topic number three, the reason that what has gone on for Ole Miss this season and last is so unacceptable is because what the program became and the investment and the fan attention and all of that has made what has happened the last year and few weeks or half a season, whatever you want to call it, completely and totally unacceptable. Yes, I know they salvaged game three. I know that the math, it's still there. Like the path to get to the postseason, it's still there. They have to go, 7-5 down the stretch? And it's certainly possible that they're able to do it. The schedule is easy. Yeah, they're 6-12 right now. I think 13-17 will get them in because the metrics really, really like them. So, you know, look, if they take two from Alabama this weekend, take two from Auburn, one from Texas A&M, and two from LSU, that's, you know, they're in the postseason, and that is a doable thing. Auburn's bad. Alabama's beatable at home. LSU at this point is bad, and A&M's good, but you have them in Oxford. There is a chance that that happens. Frankly, I would not bet on it myself at the moment, but they are still alive for sure. Winning that third game this weekend keeps them alive. But the way they started this series is yet again another example of embarrassment's the right word. I mean, they are the worst defensive high-level baseball team I've ever seen. I mean, I'm sure there's been like a midweek nobody that's come through that's been a worse defensive baseball team than Ole Miss, but I can't remember seeing one at the collegiate level, certainly not at the professional level. They repeatedly, I mean, in the first game, they get Condon to chop out, or what should be chopped out. I know the second one was kind of a difficult play, but just can't make throws, can't make routine throws, and it leads to runs. You let a ball go under your glove in the outfield. You know, that in weeks past, they can't hit the cutoff man. They can't receive the ball at first base consistently. And then one mistake compounds into two and three and four. And there are times where they play truly embarrassing baseball, and they've been run ruled four times in SEC play. They've been run ruled four times in SEC play. This was yet another embarrassing weekend where a team that is more talented than the way they play. I just don't think talent is an excuse for things like that. Now, you can say that they lack talent maybe in pitching because of injuries and stuff like that. That leads to them having some struggles there. Sure. Can you say that maybe some of the portal evaluations weren't as good as you were hoping they would be? Sure. But also, whose responsibility is that, for one? And two, you guys know my stance on this right now, and it will always be this way. When they are paid professionals, I think that heavier scrutiny needs to be laid at the feet of the players as well as the coaches. It doesn't take anything away from coaches, right? You've added scrutiny now, at least I think that you should, because of how expensive this roster is and how there are guys that you're not even playing anymore that are highly paid, or there are guys that are playing that are highly paid that aren't giving you enough. And so I do think that adds another element to when they play piss poor fundamental baseball and they're getting paid what they're getting paid. Some of the guys on that roster are getting paid more than professionals at every level but the majors. I mean, you've got a seven-figure plus roster right now, and they don't do basic baseball things well. And here's another weekend where games could have felt and been different had they just been able to do basic fundamental baseball things where you don't need a high level of talent to do. And yet here they are making bad errors, can't throw, can't catch, can't do routine stuff. They get beat again, run ruled again. And here they are. Well, we're talking about scenarios, and can they string a bunch of wins together? And sure, they can. Mathematically, it's still there. But the way they play, how inconsistent they are, is unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable. And here they are, I guess, accepting it. I don't know what else to say at this point. It's a broken record. It's the same thing every weekend. I know they've had injuries on the mound. That has contributed some. I know you know, Doyle flashed, and they got some nice things in game three on the mound as well. But and until it is consistently done, that there's I'm not going to do the, well, there was a bright spot there in a series loss thing anymore. I'm not going to do it. I think that is just kind of yanking your chain a little bit. I think that's giving you false hope. I mean, I saw something in the middle of game one before Georgia blew it open where it was like, this team has turned a corner, and I've really got to see three games in a row that they play decent baseball before I start telling you that they're going to make the postseason. So that was a tough weekend to swallow, especially when they continue to start series as poorly as they do and play as poorly as they do in the first game of these series with self-inflicted wounds, free bases, errors. It's frankly, it's that they suck at times. They just do. They suck at times. And until they can be consistent, I don't know if talking postseason with you guys is the right thing to do. Maybe they'll change that perspective. But for now, I think that's the right thing. This podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com is the website. If you are in the market for office technology and your business is located anywhere in Mississippi, you need office technology and you are in this state, check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. There's 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely going to be one in your backyard. They make it their priority every day with local loan servicing and decision-making. So if you need a loan or you have a loan through them and you need it serviced for whatever reason, it's somebody that you'll sit down with face-to-face. It's an awesome banking experience because Priority One Bank every single day makes you their priority. So we'll get to your messages now. Appreciate all of you guys being here. If you got thoughts on the football pickup, on the baseball weekend, anything that's going on, I've got 25 more minutes with you before the playoffs for my team begin. And it will probably be a short series, but a series nonetheless. Tough weekend for the Diamond Rebs. Hope the three is falling tonight for the Pels. Yeah, they've got to make shots. They've really got to make shots. And they can't start as sloppy as they did with Sacramento. They owned Sacramento all season. I mean, they were 6-0 against them this year. And they just had a really good matchup. I mean, Sabonis just could not hang with either Valanciunas or Larry Nance. And kind of a selfish team is Sacramento. Oklahoma City is not. They share the ball. They're athletic. They're young. Seems like they all really like each other. Like, you're going to get a very together effort from OKC where you got a very individualistic one from Sacramento the other night. So it feels like the end is near for Bianco's time at Ole Miss within the next year to three. If this keeps up, it will not be three. Does it concern me that he underperformed at Alabama State for 4 years, only having one good season last year? A little bit. Now, there could be a lot of reasons for why it went the way it did at Alabama State. It could have been some guys are late bloomers. It takes guys a long time to grow into their bodies or become the athlete that they end up becoming. So, there's merit to your question for sure. Absolutely there is. But when you look at the number of schools that offered him, clearly he showed something on tape this year that makes them believe that he has grown into those numbers and he's more likely that guy than whatever happened at Alabama State. Bianco has to get 5 conference wins in the next 2 weeks or it's lights out on a great career. Not looking good. If you had to guess, say he will be gone before 2044. I don't think he's got. I don't think he's got 20 more years in him. They aren't getting one from A&M. I mean, I don't think so. I don't, but that is the path. That is the path, I think, because expecting this team to sweep anybody at this moment, again, I mean, the only reason why I'm kind of waffling is because what happened in 2022, because they stunk in 2022. But the difference is that team had a bunch of alphas on it and one big time alpha in Tim Elko. They were a lot better than the way they were playing. Are we sure that this team is a lot better than the way they've played to this point? Are we sure? I'm not. I knew that everybody knew that 2022 team was underperforming what they should have been. I'm not totally convinced that this team is. I'm not. I mean, maybe that's a dumb thing to say, but at this point, you are what your record says you are, right? No notoriety before Bianco? Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, it was. He brought the program to life. He's not getting fired this year. At the beginning of the season, I was very strong in that thought that there's nothing that could happen that would change that. Completely collapse and fall apart. Might go differently. And it's still a couple more years until it's realistic time for him to retire. But if it keeps up like this, it's not going to last. So there's only 2 years left on his contract. There's four. There's four. Bianco's on a hot seat like Dabo Swinney is. It's not the worst comparison. Really successful, although Dabo much more successful in the postseason, frankly. But the struggling in this new era and wondering if the game has passed them by. It's fair. That ad read, though, like he does it for a living? Yeah, something like that. What's the band's name? Hey, Dad and I were talking about on Friday. Fleetwood something. No, it wasn't Fleetwood Mac. It was Greta Van Fleet. But I see how you got there. Can't remember trying to find some new tunes to listen to since Ole Miss baseball isn't working. Yeah, and so for those of you listening to this that did not listen to the segment like Michael did, we just kind of, you know, we kind of shoot the shit on a Friday. Forgive my language, but that's kind of what we do. Especially when it's not football season, we just kind of goof off and have fun. Everything's been said by that point of the week anyway. And Greta Van Fleet got brought up, and they were kind of a controversial band when they first got started because people were like accusing them of copying Led Zeppelin. And, you know, maybe there's some merit to that because they do sound very similar. The style, the lyrics, everything. But they were a bunch of teenagers like in high school making music that sounded like it was pulled straight from the 70s, like good rock music, right? And so I never understood why people hated on them. Oh, they're trying to be like Led Zeppelin. God forbid these teenagers be influenced by the greatest rock band of all time. And now they put out really, really good music. Their latest album is like they've matured a little bit, and you can tell both like in their ability, like their technical skill and songwriting and stuff like that. They are, I guess now in their late teens or early 20s, making 70s and 80s rock music and putting on those kind of shows with the vocals and the guitar. I mean, they sound like that, but it's all new. Greta Van Fleet. I think they're awesome. There's even an interview with Robert Plant where he's clearly joking. Everybody thought when he said, "I hate them," he was being serious. What he was clearly saying is he hates that the lead singer's youth is still like, he was talking about their age. He's like, God, I hate them because they are where I used to be, is what he was getting at. But anyway, I think they're awesome. And I'm glad that somebody's making good music these days. State fans on Twitter are already preparing themselves for heartbreak in football after their spring game. The spring game bump is, yeah, you know, everybody gets caught up in that. Arkansas fans get caught up in that. Every fan base, every single fan base gets caught up in the spring game overhype. Ole Miss didn't get caught up in the spring game overhype, and because they didn't have one. But I promise you, if they would have had one, then people would have read far, far, far too much, far too much into it. And so that's why I always caution every year during spring games, like, hey, if you score a touchdown, it's because your defense gave up a touchdown. So this is an Ole Miss-based thing, so I'll save the rest of thoughts on the spring game for the radio show. But look, the offense is going to be fun there. Chapin's capable. They've got some guys. I am terrified of what their defense is going to look like. And I don't mean I'm terrified because they're going to be so good. I mean, I'm terrified that they're going to be Swiss cheese on that side of the ball. So, yes, I did see Grant Tisdale in the portal. I think it was a 2019 touchdown pass against Alabama, right? Isn't that when it was? Because people were, like, shocked that he still had eligibility. And let's see. Yeah, it was 2019. So he signed in December of 2018. So everybody was like, how does he have eligibility? Because he signed in the 2019 recurring class. So 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So you have the COVID year and a redshirt year. So, like, you know, it's not that surprising that somebody that signed in December of 2018 still has eligibility left. If they redshirted, they have eligibility left. It just, because the early signing period, you see 2018 next to his signature, makes it look worse. It's crazy, though. That COVID year is almost past us. Barring some turnaround, you think the reality is that donor money is going to dry up for the program unless a change is made outside of the College World Series run in 2022. It's been 3 years of awful baseball. And here's the thing about that, Landon. Here's something that really interests me the most. Because this is the first Ole Miss team in any sport in the NIL era to be funded like they're funded and suck. Forgive the harshness. But if you look at basketball, right, Kermit Davis's last team wasn't highly paid and he got fired. And so now for basketball, you've had the glow of a new coach that you can raise money off of. So Chris Beard kind of pieced together his first team and they showed improvement, but you could see that they were limited in a lot of places, and you still have the shine of the new coach. And he can sell, first of all, you've seen me coach in the national championship game. You know I can coach. You saw improvement. Help me get a couple more players, and I'll take you to the tournament. You can sell that, and it obviously worked because basketball is well-funded and all that. Football, besides the obvious it's football, Lane Kiffin's been really good. In the 1 year he wasn't really good, Auburn was trying to get him, so you could raise money on the back of a threat from within your own division in a school that you just kind of generally hate anyway. But everything else has been, they've won. You know, they won 2 years ago. They won 10 games, went to a Sugar Bowl. Auburn came calling. You raised money off of that. Then they won 11 games and beat Penn State, and you're doing the Last Dance thing. You can raise money off of that. It's been very easy for fans to give money to football. It's been very easy for fans now to give money to basketball because it's on the upswing. It's an easy sell. Next year's baseball team, if there's not some kind of a change, will be the first Ole Miss team that will need to be highly paid, coming off of being highly paid and not being good enough. And so this is the first time we're going to see how well, like how it's received from the fans. Wait a minute. You asked, you know, we paid these players for you and you got them and they weren't good. Why am I giving you more money for more players when the last players you made me pay for weren't good? When I can give my money, more of it, to football because I know they'll be good. Or I can give my money to basketball because I know they'll be good. And I don't know how you guys are going to go about that. Obviously, because of what I do, and I wouldn't anyway, truthfully, but because of what I do, I am not giving money in any way, of course. So I don't know how you guys feel, but I do think that this makes it a lot more interesting. Don't want to diminish the 2022 run, but still, but that but still matters because what has happened since then? Instead of capitalizing on that run, they've turned out this. And that does kind of diminish the 2022 run. Coastal Carolina won a national championship and went, what was it, 8 years not making the tournament? It diminishes their championship. Absolutely, it does. Time to schedule a retirement ceremony. Respect what he's done, but it's time to move on. The errors are killing us. Talent is there, but damn, this is the worst fielding team Bianco's ever had. Absolutely. The Dabo comparison is legit in that they both refuse to adapt. But Ole Miss has portal players. That's the thing. That they've got them. Where they really failed this offseason was not being aggressive in the pitching portal. And maybe they were and just swung and missed too many times. But knowing Hunter Elliott wasn't going to be around, and I guess putting a lot of your eggs in the Quinn and Saunier basket were that was a choice. That was a choice, but he did get portal players. Greta Van Fleet's awesome live. Yes, I've heard that. I haven't seen them myself. The only appropriate music to listen to for this baseball season is 90s emo pop. You want to know a little something about me? I love that stuff. I love it. Really do. Like mainstream stuff like Blink 182 and you know, those kind of bands, Sum 41, whatever, and then down to like Mayday Parade and people like that. Yeah, I love that stuff. I got to be in the right mood, but anyway. I should listen to Alter Bridge and Finger 11. We'll check them out. We'll check them out. The amount of hate from analysts for Lane spring game idea rivals the hate Southern Miss fans think Borky has for them down there. You know, my relationship with Southern Miss fans is so interesting because I don't hate Southern Miss in any way, and there's nothing on tape that tells you that I do. There's nothing on tape that tells you that I hate Southern Miss. Nothing. I have been doing this for 8 years, doing the show for 8 years. I've been with Super Talk for almost 10. Find something on tape that indicates that I hate Southern Miss in any way, shape, or form. You can't. I openly root for them to win games, but, you know, that's what they think. And, yeah, let analysts piss and moan about Lane's spring game. It just doesn't matter. I mean, the clown stuff overreacting to spring games is far more embarrassing than having a hot dog contest, eating contest on the field. I promise you that. I mean, I saw somebody break down the Texas spring game talking about, whoa, this player really stepped up in the second half. It's like, what are you doing? Really stepped up in the second half of a controlled scrimmage? The only question that you should have about Texas' spring game is why did Sark like allow Arch Manning to look like why did they let him sling it around like that and make it to where people are going to wonder about Ewers? That's the only question from Texas spring game you should have is why did Sark let Why did he showcase Arch like that? That's the only question you should have. But again, whatever. That was Plumlee's first year. Then Kiffin convinced him not to transfer until the end of the 2020 spring term. Yeah. People really aren't giving Ole Miss any credit. All fancy Ole Miss has never won, so I guess that means they never will. Ignore it as best you can. And there's really only one way that that can be shut up, right, is go win. I mean, there's a whole lot of pressure on Ole Miss football in 2024 because there aren't excuses anymore. There's no excuses for Lane Kiffin. There's no excuses, generally speaking, for Ole Miss. This is a roster. They need to get a rush end. I think they will. But this is a team that should make the playoff. There's no excuses for Lane. There's no excuses for Ole Miss. Knock on wood, they maintain a typical level of health. There are no excuses if they don't get it done this year. A lot of pressure on Lane, especially. Grateful for everything Coach Pinko has done for Ole Miss and making our program what it is. I hope and pray he goes out the right way. To borrow from Josh Pate, hasn't doesn't mean can't. Hasn't means hasn't. Well, he also thinks Ole Miss will fall off a cliff after this year because they can't sustain, even though they've only two teams in the SEC have won more games than them in the last 3 years. But, they can't sustain. So, just dropping in real quick. Feels like Ole Miss is one more series away from the season truly being over, and the discussion grows. Personally think he comes back and gets one more year. By the way, this is unrelated, but Fanatics really screwed up Ole Miss's Navy jerseys. That's so pathetic. That's Fanatics, man. I really wish more people would cover what Fanatics does beyond just screwing up Major League Baseball's uniforms. It's the problem runs so much deeper than that. And you guys know that I rant about it. I won't do that again here, but they screwed up Ole Miss's jerseys because they screw up everything. Because they're run by a moron, a very, very wealthy moron. And all they do whatever they can to cut as many corners as possible to make their product as cheap as humanly possible for them to make it as expensive, to make the margins as large as they possibly can. They cut every corner imaginable. Their quality control is non-existent. It is truly a terrible, terrible company that preys on fans, and the leagues are complicit with it, and now it's happening in college too. It is shameful. And frankly, it's a monopoly that the government should step in and break them up. Like, I'm very anti-big government, but Fanatics having a partnership, an exclusive partnership with all of the sports leagues has to be illegal, right? Like, I know they get around it with using Nike, I guess, but they have a monopoly on the sports apparel business, and they're awful at it. They need to at least be investigated by somebody for some. I know that some kind of crimes are being committed. There's no way there's not. So let's take them down. It's a pathetic company. Really is. If Key Carter makes a change for a new baseball coach who's on my list and get boost, everybody – I say everybody. Most every person I talk to is like, Ole Miss should go for Eric Bakich. That would be my guy. He was at Michigan, currently at Clemson. That would be the guy. Clemson's really, really good this year, too. If that day were to come, I think he would absolutely kill it. Pinko's been the coach at Ole Miss for longer than you've been alive, 23 years old. It's incredible what he's built, but you're worried he's gone as far as it can go. Can't be accused of hating Southern Miss, mostly because I don't even think about them more than once or twice a year. That was not me. That was somebody else. That was not me. Because I know there are people that clip everything that we say out of context and put it on the internet to try to make it look like we hate Southern Miss. And Arch getting 350, more importantly, means Texas' secondary gave up 350 to a backup quarterback. Good point. See, that's why you don't overreact to spring games. That right there, there's your exercise. you don't think Ole Miss will ever become bottom two to three in the league regarding investment, no matter who's the coach? Well, of course not. But you can see them dropping to upper middle of the pack with basketball and football being so good. This is a good follow-up to that. The fan base will really be tested if there's three bottom-out years for baseball in a row. The cream jerseys don't look good up close either. The red pins and powder blues are the only ones that aren't that new crap Fanatics has done. Go figure. Go figure. Clip it. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Hate to cut this off short tonight, guys. I appreciate you, but I got playoff basketball to watch. So pray for me. Don't pray for me over sports, but pray for me because my heart is going to be in a bad place tonight. So anyway, appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be back on Tuesday. Wait. Game two is on Tuesday. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll do something. We'll be back on Tuesday. I gotta keep this up. You just, again, might see me in a bad place. So anyway, I appreciate you guys. Please like the video, subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave a comment, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Y'all be good. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.